Genesis 41, we're looking at the life of probably for many of you, this may even be a favorite Bible character. If we were to ask for favorite Bible characters, it wouldn't be long until we got to this man by the name of Joseph. And there's reasons for that. If he's not number one, he's probably top five, definitely top ten. He's just one of those that we just look at his life in amazement, just how things transpired. And last week we looked at the conflicts of his character construction, and that is his faithfulness. And no matter what came into Joseph's life, he was faithful. He was faithful in time of animosity. You remember the environment he grew up in, the sheer, not just dislike, but hatred from his brothers that he endured. In time of adversity, sold into slavery, he's bought by Potiphar. But all the time, what does it say? The Lord was with Joseph. He was faithful in time of allurement when Potiphar's wife tried to get him to do something he shouldn't have done. And he was faithful in that, to get away from that environment. He was faithful in time of accusation. And he was faithful in time of affliction. And we noticed that Joseph's life was kind of like a cycle. He was favored, and then he was hated, and then he was sold. Then he was lied about, he was sold, he was favored, then he was lied about, and then he was in prison. It just kind of, it's almost like a pinball action. He's going over here, and oh, maybe this is done, and I'm over here. No, wait, we're back over here again, okay? It just kind of seems like that's happening for Joseph. But we want to look at just a couple aspects again tonight of his faithfulness as we look through his character. Honestly, of those things we looked at, the things in Joseph's life, he endured many things. But how many of us, including myself, it would have just taken one of those things to just crush us or to bring us down or for our character to be destroyed. But look at how much he continually endured. And although, this one author says, although character is often constructed in the ways covered in the previous lesson, it is also built in unlikely circumstances, such as success and prosperity. One only need look at professional athletes or entertainers to see how wealth and achievement reveal character that is deficient or non-existent. And truthfully, to get those things, we don't need to look far outside even of this room. Just because, why, we struggle, don't we? We struggle with character. We struggle with faithfulness, even in times of affliction or adversity. But Genesis 41 records Joseph's rise from prisoner to prince all in one day. Let's read here in Genesis 41, beginning in verse 1. We'll read down to verse 13. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Okay, where did we finish last week? Genesis 40, right? And he interprets the dreams. And he says, hey, and the phrasing of this is so interesting. He's like, if you guys could be so kind as to mention to Pharaoh that I'm here when you get there. And now we come to chapter 41. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. Excuse me. Verse 4, and the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept, and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good, and behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake, that's interesting, because how did these guys get in the position that they got in? Probably by doing stuff like this, interpreting dreams, giving good advice. So what happens when Pharaoh comes and says, I need advice on, this could be the biggest thing I've gone through, and they say, we have nothing for you. And just again shows the hand of our God saying, nope, I'm not going to let you guys interpret this. I have someone else I've got in mind. So even the Lord's hand, just through even just that itself in verse 8. Look at verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Okay, all of a sudden, it comes back 2 years later. It's like, oh, yes, I totally forgot, which I don't know how you forget what took place. The guy tells you, hey, this guy tomorrow, he's going to be hanged. By the way, tomorrow you're going to be put back to your position. Oh, great. Like, you just forget about that? But again, the Lord's timing. We don't know all that was going on with Joseph, and maybe the Lord was still developing and constructing him. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, verse 10, this is the butler speaking, and put me in ward and the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker, and we dreamed a dream, and one night, I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream that he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted us, so it was. Me he restored into mine office, and him he hanged. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll look at a couple more aspects of Joseph's faithfulness. Our Father, we are thankful that you have chosen to give us the account of this, Lord, real person, this individual that lives life on this planet. And Father, we're grateful that we have the example to follow. We're thankful we have the character to strive for. And Lord, also, albeit we are striving after your character, Lord, it does us good, even I think as humans, just to see someone who achieved and worked as you wanted him to. Father, I pray for tonight. I pray that you would just open our hearts to your word as we look through just a couple aspects of Joseph. And Father, I pray that our church family, our church body, Lord, would we follow you faithfully no matter what takes place in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph was faithful in time of achievement. Again, in verse 1, came to pass over 2 full years. Chapter 40, he interprets the dreams. Interpreted dreams for the baker and the butler. And then we keep reading verse 14. The Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. They shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph right here could have been kind of resting on his own achievements. It's interesting that although did he know that God had not left him? You know, it says how many times the Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph. What was it that Joseph knew? God is still with me, even in the midst of these things. But in time of achievement, I think we need to focus on two main thoughts of Joseph's faithfulness. And one is his consecration to God. Joseph was committed to God's will. Joseph was committed to God's will. We see that with Potiphar's wife. And he says, how can I do this and sin against my God? I am committed to God's way. I'm committed to God's path. Joseph might say, like we said in Psalm 119 and verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I'm going to follow God and what God wants me to do. Paul Chappell, in his book, Stewarding Life, says this, and during a time of trouble for him, the Lord gave him this thought, his will, meaning God's will, is better than my want. His will is better than my want. And Joseph was committed to that fact. How do we know that? Look how many times, we're going to go through a couple of verses here, how many times Joseph uses the name of God when he's talking to Pharaoh. Look at verse 16 where we left off. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. By the way, how tempting would it have been for Joseph to say, this is my chance. I'm before Pharaoh. I better not blow this. Okay, I've got a chance to trade all of that for something better than that. I know for sure. You know, how tempting would it have been to say, yeah, I interpreted those dreams for those guys. That was me. You got the right guy. Also puts a lot of pressure on him, too, that he better deliver. But how tempting would it have been? But he says, no, it's not in me. It's in my God. And what faithfulness to God to mention God in his achievements. And look, notice verse 25. He says, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. So now he's linking what's taking place to Pharaoh. Say, Pharaoh, you're involved in this. God wanted you to have heads up of what's going on. Look at verse 28. Again, he says, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Not just something that's just going to happen. Not just circumstance. Okay, God is in control of this. Joseph is thinking, as God is in control of my whole life, up until this point, and God is going to bring these things to pass. Look again at verse 32. It says, "And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." Joseph was not about to take credit for something God had accomplished. Joseph understood, okay, all the abilities I have, abilities, inabilities, capabilities, gifts, all of them are from God. And it is amazing that God gives us the will, or is it the, the desire and the will, both of his good pleasure. Okay, God gives us the desire and God gives the will to do what he calls us to do. And then one day it says we're going to stand before God. He's going to reward us for what he gave us the ability to do. It's amazing. And yet, how many times do we think that it's in us? And Pharaoh says, "Joseph, I've dreamed this dream." And Joseph says, "It's not in me. It is in God." Joseph was consecrated to God's will. But not only his consecration to God, his concentration on God. Joseph believed that God was in control, and what he knew about God, he trusted. By the way, what makes Pharaoh believe Joseph? It says in verse 37, it says, "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants." So the entire place is hearing Joseph, and they're saying, that's right. That sounds right on something that has not yet come to pass. But yet we see God's hand still in control, and that something in Pharaoh said, remember, the Lord is with this. Can we find someone with whom the Spirit of God is than Joseph? Something about Joseph just poured out the fact that he was a servant of the Most High God. And they believed what he said, as was right for them to do. But he was concentrated on God. The more truth we have of God, the more we will trust him as well. And the more we know about God, the more we continue to know about God, the more we will continue to trust him, and the more we'll be committed to what God wants and God's will and not our own. All right, I need a couple people. Andrew Dupree, I need you. Jeremiah Clark, I need you. Okay. Oh, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for coming up. Awesome. Thank you so much. All right. Now, this is genuine. You guys can pick one side. It's even got, you can take an extra one over there. Really? An extra one or two? So we've got basketball game right here, all right? So they're going to have 60 seconds to score as many baskets. So, you know, the rule, you can't drop it in with your hand. It's got to come off the springboard, flicker, whatever that thing is. It's got to come off of that. You can have 60 seconds, get as many as you can. Now, seems like a pretty simple game when I can focus on the baskets. But when I'm concentrating on something else, this all of a sudden becomes more difficult. How many of you think the scores would have been higher? Although 30, that's impressive, okay? 30 to 13, how many of you think Jeremiah's would have been higher than 13 had been able to focus on the basket? I think that's very, very true. Andrew, hopefully yours would have been higher. I don't know. Hopefully you don't go lower when you're looking at the basket. Hopefully it stays up there. But and that's kind of dumb. You'd be like, you should be focusing on what you're doing. And, you know, the truth is the same thing happens when we try to do life and we don't concentrate on God. And we try to do life, and we try to walk, and we try to do what we need to do, but our concentration should be here on God and what we're doing, and we are all over the place, and we're distracted by what's happening. And Joseph was faithful in time of achievement because his concentration was on God. And somehow, I don't know all the ins and outs, but whatever revelation he had of God and who God was, he trusted in. A.W. Tozer said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And we concentrate on God, and we understand truth about God, and we understand who he is, the more our thinking is going to be set, and the more focused we're going to be on who he is. What does Hebrews say? He says, "Therefore, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, not looking to ourselves, not looking to what's happening all around us, but we look to Jesus as we take the course God has for us. And we need to concentrate on who God is. And that's why it's so important every day to spend time in God's Word. And the more I get from God, the more I understand about God, the easier it is going to be to trust Him and to trust that He knows what He's doing in our lives, even if it does not seem like it. So Joseph was faithful in time of achievement. His consecration to God, it was not about him. It was all about God. His whole life was about God. But Joseph was faithful in time of advancement. Look at, we're going to jump to verse 40. We get through where Pharaoh tells the dream to Joseph, and then Joseph gives him the interpretation. Okay, the seven are 7 years, the seven good cows, the seven good ears, they're 7 years. And then God's going to send a famine, and it's going to make it look like those good days were gone. They were non-existent. So we come to verse 40, and actually let's go to verse 37, read it again. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And what a testimony of Joseph. Did Pharaoh know about the Hebrew God before Joseph came into his presence? I don't know. It's possible. But something about him to where, okay, this guy, this is the real deal right here. Verse 39, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Remember, Joseph, he's like, this is what you need to do, Pharaoh. By the way, here's the dream, but this is the plan of action that needs to take place. So you need to go and you need to find somebody. I wonder if Joseph was not even thinking about himself. He's like, you need to find somebody that can take care of this and handle all of this. Pharaoh says, we can't find anybody else. Verse 40, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And the butler who's standing there, jaw drops because he's like, oh no. All right? And then word gets to Potiphar and his house, and they're like, oh no, we might as well pack up and go right now. Joseph's probably coming after us. And verse 41, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from off his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of linen. He made him ride, verse 43, made him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him rule over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Ends up changing Joseph's name. He gives him, gave him the wife Asenath. Verse 45, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. So Joseph was faithful, even in time, not just achievement, but in time of advancement. And Joseph is now second in command of one of, if not the most powerful nation that's going on at the time. But Joseph's faithfulness was manifested. Look at verses 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city. He laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. Number one, we see Joseph was faithful to work hard. Joseph is faithful to work hard. He gets right at it. Okay, we got to get a plan together. Now, what would have been required in order to pull this off? I mean, you're talking construction. Okay, we've got to have a place to store this stuff. Personnel, we've got to have people that are actually going to make this happen and get this stuff and bring it to me. Then I guess that's logistics. We got to figure out how's it going to get from point A to point B where it's supposed to be. You're talking all this for a guy that grew up herding sheep and took care of Potiphar's house, but has been in jail for a while. But he's faithful to work hard. Number two, Joseph was faithful not to forget God. Look at verse 50. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. How do we know that Joseph was faithful to not forget God. Look at the names of his sons. He understood, okay, God has been with me, and God is the one who has prospered me. It's nothing that I've done. That goes back to him standing before Pharaoh. It's nothing I've done. It is all about God, and God, thank you. I'm going to name one of my sons. I'm going to give my son this name because I know it was you that caused me to be fruitful, even in the land of my affliction. So Joseph was faithful not to forget God. And then lastly, verses 53 to 57, and the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. Say, all right, Joseph, you better deliver. I'm sending everybody your way. Verse 56, and the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn because that the famine was sore in all the lands. Finally, Joseph was faithful to do what was expected of him. He was faithful to work hard. He was faithful to not forget God. And he was faithful to do what was expected. Okay, he was given a job, an assignment, and he did it. And sometimes we think, like Joseph, well, you know, of course he was faithful. Look at the position he had. But Joseph's faithfulness goes back years and years and years and years. His faithfulness to do right. His faithfulness so much so that his testimony outshone the testimony of his brothers, so much so that they were like, okay, we just need to get rid of him. He's making us look bad. We need to just cast him aside. And Joseph's faithfulness goes all the way back there. And faithfulness doesn't come just because maybe we're given something. But Joseph's faithfulness and character did not begin in the palace. Joseph's position did not make him faithful. He was faithful in little, and God prospered him. As the Lord says in Luke 16 and verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. So Joseph's faithfulness, it's just, wow. I mean, there's praise the Lord for what he did. And you know, the Lord is not wanting just to construct faithfulness and character in the life of Joseph a long time ago. He's wanting to do that with us right now. And he's wanting to build us for what he has for us. All right, Brother Steve, you can come for the last song.